Welcome to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. Journey with us as we discuss the life of a gentleman and how we can gain more respect and confidence with lessons in life, etiquette, and personal style. Each week, we will bring engaging discussions, thought-provoking interviews, and tips on upgrading your personal style. We are all a work in progress. Let's take this journey together. Let's live the life of a gentleman. Welcome back, everyone, to another edition of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. I want to thank you for tuning in this week and for being a part of this movement where we're trying to live this life of a gentleman. If you haven't already done so, please, would you rate, review, and subscribe to the Life of a Gentleman podcast? We really would appreciate it, as it would help us get this information out to others that have the same interest as you do. Today, we're going to do something a little bit different. Our regular co-host, Charles, is out, and so Dennis has agreed to step in. Dennis, you're on the line. How's it going today?
Oh, man, it's going beautiful, man. For some reason, it's a little bit warmer today, even though it is like middle to late October. So 85 degrees, you can't complain that, man.
No, we're having some great, unseasonably warm weather. And so we're going to enjoy every last bit of it before the cold weather sets in. How's it feel being first up to bat? Usually you're batting cleanup, but today you're right at the top of the order.
Well, growing up, I was actually number two hitter. Playing baseball, I'm comfortable with this position, my friend. It's better than being last, I'll tell you that much.
Hey, that's all right. Nothing wrong with batting cleanup, but let's keep the baseball references going. Thanks for pitch hitting today and stepping in. So today I thought we'd talk a little bit about suit fit and shopping for a suit. Now, before everyone tunes out, I know we have covered this before, but it's such a broad subject and there's so many good tips that we can share. We thought we'd just kind of revisit it. We've had some questions and emails come in about it where people wanted us to elaborate a bit more. So that's what we're going to do today. So Dennis, I'll let you kind of lead off and get the ball rolling. Can you let us know some things that were on your mind about this subject?
Well, let's face it here, Rich. Suits is something that's so in demand right now. Reason for that is it's just hard to buy them, you know? It's hard to shop, find the right fit, find the right price. So I figure, you know what? Suits is kind of like an all-around thing. That's why we talk about it so much. You know, we could talk about it in March. We could talk about it in September. And we could come back to it and talk about it in January. That's why suits is so important. So I figure we start off with the top, meaning the actual jacket, how it's supposed to fit and how it should be worn. How do you feel about suits as kind of like a staple piece for every gentleman?
Well, yeah, exactly. That's why I think it would be good to just circle back and touch on this, because like you said, it's something that could almost be an everyday part of your wardrobe. And it's something that is a statement piece, but also a functional piece. So no matter how you look at it, we've got to dive in and master the art of purchasing and wearing a suit. So this makes perfect sense to me. I'm ready.
Yeah, and the best part about suits is it's not just the, you know, it's a double-breasted suit. It's the shorter length suits, because a lot of the times, you know, when you buy a suit, it usually comes in 38, let's say 38 short, or 38 regular, or, you know, one or the other. So I kind of want to let the audience understand how to go about shopping a suit. So we'll start off with the shoulders. A lot of guys are built heavier on top than the bottom. So shoulders must be the proper fit, meaning pads are not to be sticking out when it comes to the shoulder fit. Richard, how many times have you seen a gentleman lean forward and you have some space in the back bunching up because the suit is not fitting properly the shoulders? The shoulder area is such a key, man, when it comes to a suit.
Well, like you said, when the shoulders don't work, really the whole look isn't going to work. Like you said, some cues that you can look for with your eyes is the shoulder pad sticking out like you're some sort of football player. That's a mistake. And also when you're moving around and it's bunching up, again, that's a mistake. Really, here's the thing about a suit that I like. A suit's got to be comfortable. Now, if your suit isn't comfortable, then something's wrong. Because a lot of people feel like a suit is going to be stuffy. But in all honesty, it's one of the most comfortable pieces of clothing that I own. I can literally wear a suit all day and not feel uncomfortable in the least bit. How about yourself?
I totally agree with you. Now, this is the key, Rich. When you say comfortable, guys tend to say, but I like my suits form-fitting. Let me tell you something. You could buy a regular fit suit, but if you have the length of the arms properly hemmed, that's all you need, and you could still wear that suit and make it look modern just based on that. That takes me to the next subject here. When it comes to the sleeves, the cuff has to be longer than the actual jacket. If I see a jacket sleeve overwhelm the cuff, I'm very disappointed when I see that, Rich. I mean, that's just me. You have to have an inch separation between the actual shirt, the cuff, and the actual jacket.
Yeah, that's something that a lot of people overlook. In all honesty, a lot of people don't know that. So when they see someone with the shirt cuff sticking out of the suit jacket, for the uninformed eye, they think that's the wrong look, when in all actuality, it is the proper look, just like you said. So you want to keep that in mind. When you get a suit usually off the rack, it's not going to fit that way. Generally, 9 times out of 10, you're going to have to get it altered by a tailor to get that proper look.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. Plus, you have a cuff. I mean, that's what we want to see. That's why we have cufflinks, you know what I mean?
Right.
There wouldn't be no such thing as cufflinks if you were to hide them. What's the purpose?
That's a good point. That's almost common sense, but it's something that gets overlooked.
But it's very detailed. That's what I mean when guys say, you know what, I want my suits fitted. That's why I don't like the baggy look. You could buy a comfortable suit. All you have to do is just make sure the sleeves are shorter, and that sets everything perfect for the whole outfit. Plus, your presentation will be clean and neat.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Now, what's the next thing that you had up for us?
This is very simple. I mean, common sense. The buttons. Please, let's stick to 2 buttons. I touched on this before. I still see it. You know, some of my clients, I have to tell them that you can't wear 3 or 4 pieces. I mean, this is not Steve Harvey, you know what I mean? We have to move on from that. 2-button suits, not the 3 buttons or 4 buttons.
Yeah, the 2-button is the most classic look, and it's been around forever. It's not going anywhere. So when you're making a big purchase on a suit, it's like making an investment. You want that to last. So we don't want to be following the trends. We know in the past there was a lot of extra buttons or things like that. Go ahead and avoid those. Stick with the classic cut so that you're going to get the most life out of that suit.
Yeah, but I totally agree. I mean, the 2 buttons, you just button the top button and leave the second one out, and you're good to go. You know, it kind of allows you to wear a shorter jacket, Rich, which, you know, some guys like to do because they like to wear the suits, you know, casually. So you can't do that with a 3-button suit. You can't wear it casually because what are you going to do? You're going to button the top one and leave the last 2 open? That's not going to work.
Yeah, that's a good point. By having the suit jacket a little shorter too, it gives you the appearance of being a little bit taller than you actually are, which is always a good thing. You look a little bit nicer when your body looks lean and a little bit longer.
And that's another subject I wanted to talk about. Guys don't understand, but the shorter you wear your stuff, the longer you look. That goes for the sleeves and the length of the jacket and actually the length of the trouser. Which, well, now it takes me to... Now, this is something that's overlooked a lot, this part of the suit, which is the lapels, Rich. How you could tell a good suit from a cheap suit usually is through the lapels. You have more fabric on the lapel, it looks more expensive, more like you're a businessman, more like you actually could afford name brand suits. Listen, I have nothing against the skinny lapels. You could use them once in a while, but you must have more of the wider lapels than the actual slimmer lapels. The reason for that is, if you're actually wearing stuff on your lapel, it just looks better. You know, you have more room for it to stand out. Let's say if you like to wear pins, if you like to wear a nice pocket square, the way it just sits next to the lapel, it's beautiful. Now, I'm not talking about taking it back to the 70s and have a huge lapel
right,
overwhelm
yeah.
your shoulders. but it's good enough length where your suit looks on point, and you know, you look like you just stepped out of a photo shoot from Italy or something.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Again, we're talking about avoiding some of those trends, because we know the skinny lapels, they were really in style here the last couple years, and it seems like everybody was doing this shrunk down look. But again, what happens when the trend changes? Now it's out of style and you've got to kind of hide that suit in the back of your closet. But if you take the tips that Dennis is presenting, you're able to keep that suit in your rotation for years and years. And if it's a high quality suit made out of wool, you're talking about passing that suit on to a family member down the line, something like that. It's a possibility.
Exactly. And you know what? Another thing too, Rich, if you're like a slimmer guy and you want to kind of like want to execute that broader shoulder look, what better than wider lapels?
Yeah, that does. That changes everything.
Yeah, it just doesn't look, it doesn't look as cheap, you know what I mean? It looks like you actually bought a suit that cost over, you know, $300.
Yeah, exactly. Now, before we round out this segment, it's amazing how fast time flies, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what happens when you talk about fashion and trying to educate our listeners on, you know, certain subjects that they're not aware of.
Yeah, that's very true. And also some good reminders for people, too. Could you give us one last tip before we round out this segment?
Well, as far as the pants, make sure that the bottom hem must be longer than the top of your shoe, meaning shorter. I mean, the bottom of your pants has to be a little bit above your shoe, especially if you're wearing shoes that have laces, which they tend to be a little higher. So you don't want your pants dragging, you know, no breaks on your pants at all. And also, as far as your waist or your trouser, make sure it's perfectly fit. That way, you don't have to wear it with a belt. I'm a big fan of not wearing my suits with a belt. Kind of gives it an edgy look. Like, you know, like you're too cool. You know what I mean?
I'll leave that
like,
to you.
I don't need a belt. I'll just tuck my shirt in. Boom. I'm good to go.
Yeah. When I know you're a suspender guy, so you can pull that off. But everybody can't do it. But if you can, it is an awesome look.
Exactly. So just make sure that, you know, the hem of the waist is perfectly done, and that's pretty much it, you know. And as far as suits, like I said it before, Rich, it's not that expensive to buy a suit. It's just the right timing of it. For example, I'm gonna let you in a little story. I got two suits in Macy's for about $240, name brand suits.
Yeah, now that's a deal.
I mean, listen, you have to do work to them, but I'd rather buy a suit that has potential that I could fix. And just buy a suit just because it's cheap.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
So it sounds like you're not afraid to dig around and find a deal, find things on sale, and then take it to your tailor and make it look absolutely perfect.
Exactly. And the suit that I'm talking about is the Kenneth Cole suit. I mean.
Oh, wow. You can't beat that then.
Exactly, man. So I make sure I encourage all the guys that check them out. They have them in different colors. And there's good sales out there right now. This is the key time for sales and getting the best out of your deals.
Thanks for that tip as well. So it's just a good reminder for us all. It doesn't have to be expensive. So we really don't have any excuses when it talks about wearing a suit, presenting ourselves like gentlemen. But before we go any further, Dennis, it's time to get into that interview. Are you ready for it?
Yeah, man, I'm excited.
Let's do it.
And now it's time for this week's segment of The Gentleman's News. Exclusive interviews with exceptional people discussing all things gentlemen, from business to fashion to lifestyle, industry leaders, authors, and more. This is The Gentleman's News.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Life of a Gentleman podcast. This week, we have with us a very special guest. This is a gentleman that played college basketball for the University of Utah. He was their all-time leader in three-point percentage. He also went on to found Bryant Sports Academy, and he worked with over 125 athletes to advance their basketball skills. He's recently been named as the assistant coach to the Utah Jazz, and he had the honor of head coaching their summer league team. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Johnny Bryant. How's it going today, Johnny?
Thank you. It's going great. Going great, just getting ready for the season. Training camp starts next week, so it should be an exciting, fun year for us.
Yeah, I'm glad we were able to connect with you and have you on the show, because I'm a big sports fan myself, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners are as well. But not only that, from what we've seen of your social media and the things that we've read about you, you really handle yourself and present yourself as a true gentleman. So really, that's the reason we wanted to have you on.
Yeah, you know, obviously, being in professional sports and being an athlete and a former professional athlete, you know, people look at you as an athlete, but at the end of the day, you know, you're a man, husband, father, and so forth. So you have to carry yourself as, like a gentleman, and that's what your parents raise you to be, as a man and a gentleman. So my parents did a great job, and my mentors did a great job of raising me in that way.
Yeah, I really can appreciate that. You know, that kind of leads me into the first question I wanted to ask you, and that is, you did fulfill your dream of becoming a professional athlete, and you mentioned your parents helping you. Were they the ones that kind of inspired you or encouraged you along the way, or were there others as well that helped you to reach your goals?
Absolutely. You know, we say back home, it takes a village to raise a kid, to raise a man, to raise a woman. And, you know, my mom did an unbelievable job. I grew up in a single family home. She had three kids and she worked graveyard shifts. So I had support from my youth coaches from, you know, fifth and sixth grade all the way to eighth grade. And then I had another coach come along, Lou Ritchie, in high school, who I refer to as my big brother. And I tell him all the time, he saved my life. And, you know, father figure, Remy Young, who came along, you know, when I was in college and really took everything that I learned to another level from Lou. And those two guys, you know, tag team with me, and they have a great relationship. And, you know, growing up in Oakland, like I said, that those two guys are huge pillars in the community.
Yeah, like you said, it takes a village sometimes, and it's definitely turned out well for you. As we mentioned, you did have the chance to play professional basketball, but what was that experience like overseas? Could you give us a little insight on that?
You know, it was unique. Unique experiences because, you know, you have a situation where, you know, you take Lou Ritchie, for example. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. So it took a while to kind of gain that trust, and over time, and it kind of happened organically. You know, I seen that he was a person who cared about me. You know, he taught me, you know, you're talking about being a gentleman. When you meet someone, give him a firm handshake, look him in the eye. You know, if you're going out in public, make sure you conduct yourself in a professional way. You know, having your shirt tucked in, wearing a belt, you know, things like that. And then, you know, you look at Raymond Young, another gentleman who, you know, just the biggest thing was being a man. You know, there are certain things that you may not want to do, but, you know, at the end of the day, you have a responsibility to your family to provide and also protect and be a leader. You know, he did a great job of teaching me how to be a leader, teaching me how to be a man, and teaching me how to be resilient in a way to where no matter what happens in life, you know, with adversity, because we all go through it, you know, you have to be resilient and fight through it.
Yeah, that's some great advice that you just gave, and we have to give credit to those that helped us along the way. Now, we mentioned too, you've started to make this transition. Take us to the time when you transitioned into the NBA. Was that a seamless transition for you?
It was, in a way, just because I was already living in Salt Lake City. So when the opportunity came up and I didn't have to move, you know, I didn't have to, you know, go from one state to another. But, you know, it was a situation where I was able to learn on the fly. And it was roughly about this time 5 seasons ago, where in 2012, so, you know, for exactly 4 years ago, where I kind of took the job in the middle of September, and, you know, it was a week before training camp, so I didn't know if I was going to be traveling. I didn't know anything. I just kind of came to work and, you know, just learned on the fly. You know, I had some great mentors to help me my first couple years in the NBA, especially my first year, just how to handle professional athletes. And a lot of it at the end of the day, too, is basically regurgitating everything that I learned from my mentors and my coaches along the way. So it was pretty seamless, but, you know, the challenges were a little different in a way, which with the travel and so forth, it just made it have to adjust a little bit.
Yeah, for those that don't know, in the NBA, they play 82 games, regular season games, so that's a lot of travel. You're going from the West Coast to the East Coast. And here's one thing I always wondered. When you're keeping that busy schedule, you coaches, you're always dressed in suits. Does that present a challenge when you go on the road?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially, you know, my first year, I didn't have that many suits. So kind of learn how to mix and match. You know, you kind of get creative. If you have a 5-game road trip, you know, you may have to bring 3 suits and, you know, wear blue one night and then wear the same blue pants with a, you know, gray jacket the next night. And then, you know, you may wear the gray suit the next night. And then, you know, just kind of, you know, switch it up a little bit, change the shirt and tie, obviously. You know, and you just kind of get creative because, I mean, even still, I'm not fortunate enough to have 82 suits. You have to get creative a little bit, but you know, I try to keep the guys off me and keep them guessing and, you know, have a pretty good rotation.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Definitely. We preach that on the podcast as well. Sometimes you got to mix it up, and you can mix in some nice accessories too, and it gives your suit a whole new look. So everybody will be watching this year when we see you on TV. We'll say, hey, it's the most dapper coach in the NBA, so we'll be looking for
you. Absolutely, absolutely. I'll make sure I represent you guys well.
No, that sounds good. We look forward to it. Now, I wanted to ask you, too, about the Basketball with Borders program. I know that you were involved with that this year. Could you tell us a little bit more about that program, what it is, and then also the most rewarding part of that experience?
You know, the program was basically, you know, something that they've been doing for a while, the NBA. You know, they just go over to different countries, different continents, and just expose the youth to basketball, you know, and the Basketball Without Borders this year was in Angola, Africa, and we were actually in Luanda, the city, and it was just the top, you know, 70 players from the continent of Africa coming under one roof and getting teaching and coaching from NBA coaches. So, you know, that's pretty much the program, and there's been some players who, you know, been in those camps, been in those clinics, who made their way to the NBA. Players kind of made their way to different colleges coming over here. So, you know, it's just a way for the youth there to get exposure, just because sometimes they don't have the financial backing to get them to a situation where they can be exposed and, you know, college coach can see them or NBA coach can see them or, you know, NBA front office can see them.
Yeah, that sounds like a great program, and for anybody that's seen it in action and some video footage of it, it's really something commendable that the NBA does. So I'm sure you were glad to be a part of that.
Absolutely, it was such an honor, great opportunity, and you know, my wife, she's actually Liberian. She was born in Liberia, so it was a great opportunity for her to get back to Africa. She hasn't been since she was 3, so that was my first time going, and that's her first time going back, so it was a no-brainer for us to make our way out there when we received an invitation.
Oh, man, that makes it extra special, I bet. Yeah, that sounds like a great opportunity that you guys will remember. Now that you're an NBA assistant coach, this is something that us sports fans probably all want to know. What is it like having that 82-game grind? And also, though, what is some of the favorite parts of the job? Because it does seem like it's a lot of hard work, but also it seems like it could be fun building some camaraderie with the team. So what's it like?
It's, you know, for me, I grew up playing basketball. I grew up always wanting to be in the NBA, fortunate enough to be coaching in the NBA. You know, it's an unbelievable experience night in and night out to see the best players go out and compete. A buddy of mine would kind of joke and say, hey, you know, I get front row seats every night. You know, you see guys playing at the highest level night in and night out, and you know, to, you know, see a guy get a triple double or to see Kobe get 60 points and, you know, things like that, it's one of those things where you kind of sit back and you have to pinch yourself a little bit, just because it's one of those things where it's like, wow, I'm really watching this and getting paid to do it. And you know, obviously the challenge is the travel and being away from your family and, you know, being on the road and watching film and being up to 2-3 o'clock in the morning breaking down film and planning for the next game and, you know, your sleep patterns being off. And, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, it's a situation where you have opportunity to impact these players in a positive way. I try to help them and help them become men as well and mentor them as well. And, you know, I know that sometimes I feel like I'm quote-unquote preaching to them.
Yeah.
You know, just you know, the importance of their brand and also, you know, just clothing and, hey, wear your, you know, tuck your shirt in or, you know, make sure you pull up your pants or wear a belt. And, you know, things like that. Just little small, little subtle things, you know, just to kind of help them continue to be professional. And, you know, at the end of the day, they're an example. example for the kids, and the kids see it, and you know, you want to have that positive influence on the youth.
Yeah, that's great to hear you say that. And the other thing I had a question about is, you know, you've achieved some pretty high goals, and everybody out there, maybe they're not into athletics, but maybe they have another goal that they're trying to reach. What advice would you give to somebody that set their sights on something and they're not exactly sure how they're going to make it? What would you tell them?
Obviously, anything, right? You set your goal, and ultimately, at the end of the day, you have to set some short-term goals and you know, find a way to eventually have that, you know, roadmap lead you to where you want to go. And as you know, in life, you know, everything's not going to go according to plan, but you have to be resilient. You have to fight through the adversity. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it's a situation where you may have a goal. And, you know, if I know for me personally, I had a goal where I wanted to play professionally for a long time. And when I was in Germany, you know, I had a situation where, you know, I did a lot of praying just on what my future was going to be. And it was a situation where, you know, God had another plan for me. And, you know, it led me into coaching in the NBA. And if it was left up to me, who knows where I'd be. But ultimately, this was my path. You know, it was one of those things where, you know, I look back and reflect like, hey, you know, I'm glad I listened and made the right decision.
Yeah, I like what you said, too, about being resilient. And things don't always go our way, but we can bounce back. And sometimes, like you said, your career might go on a different path. And it's great to see you fulfilling your dreams, still being involved in basketball. And it's such a great accomplishment. We want to commend you for that. Can we ask, lastly?
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. What would be some of your future goals? Do you have aspirations to stay in the coaching field? And perhaps could we see you head coaching in the NBA one day somewhere down the line?
To answer your question, of course, I want to stay in the coaching and sports business. And as far as my coaching path and career, you know, at the end of the day, it's whatever God has in store for me. You know, like I said, I can have a plan and say, hey, I want to be here by this age. But, you know, I'm just trying to learn as much as I can each and every day about this game and about this business and, you know, help players improve. And, you know, if that means being a head coach one day in this league, you know, that'd be great. You know, if that means, you know, being head coach in college, you know, that'd be great as well. But, you know, right now I'm just trying to learn and be the best coach I can possibly right now in this moment. You know, ultimately at the end of the day, with all the preparation and all the hard work that I put in, you know, I'll be ready whenever that time does come, if it does lead to a head coaching position.
Yeah, I definitely feel that you would be ready. And just by talking to you, we see that you really embody living that life of a gentleman. So I'm sure that also helps every step of the way. Not to mention, you work for a great organization with a nice NBA history and a great coaching staff as well. So that helps also, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Great organization. I'm fortunate enough to be learning from one of the smartest coaches, I believe, basketball minds in the game. You know, I'm not in a rush to go anywhere. You know, continue to be a sponge and soak up all this information.
Yeah, that's good advice for us all. Sometimes it's best to get some experience under our belt and then move on to the next steps in life. But before we go, we wanted to just say that we hope that you have a great season. We know training camp is probably just around the corner for you in the Utah Jazz. And also, when you come to Detroit, I'm going to be definitely looking forward to meeting you in person when you play the Detroit Pistons, which is a team that I really enjoy watching. But this year, for my Western Conference team, it's going to be the Utah Jazz.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you as well.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on the podcast, The Life of a Gentleman. And before you go, could you let us know if you'd like, is there any social media or anywhere people could follow you to learn more about you and follow your career and also the team?
My Twitter handle is jbryant, BryantT3. You know, that's my social media outlet where I'll, you know, interact with the fans and, you know, tweet a little bit. So that's my platform there.
All right. Thanks so much for sharing that with us. And once again, we'd like to thank you for coming on the podcast today. And we wish you a great season. And we'll be in touch and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
And now it's time for A Woman's Touch. This is to give listeners tips on etiquette and men's fashion from an etiquette and manners expert. Since good manners and etiquette is timeless, these tips will definitely help you achieve the gentleman's code. So now, this is A Woman's Touch, only on The Life of a Gentleman.
Hello everyone, welcome back to The Life of a Gentleman podcast. This week we're introducing a new segment, and we're happy to have back on Sharon Schweitzer. If you remember, she came on a few weeks earlier talking to us about etiquette. The beautiful thing about Sharon is she has so much knowledge in the field of etiquette. She is an etiquette expert and a best-selling international award-winning author. She's built a career around this, and she's been gracious enough to come back on and talk to us about different subjects in the field of etiquette from time to time. So without further ado, we'd like to welcome back to the show, Sharon.
Thank you, Richard. It's my pleasure to join your podcast again. You were so gracious last time, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about what you have in store for your listeners today.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate you being willing to come on. As I mentioned in the outset, you have so much knowledge in this field of etiquette, and we thought for those that are trying to be well-rounded gentlemen, that they would really appreciate having someone with your knowledge and background come on and give us a few tips that they could implement into their everyday life. So what subject did you have in mind to talk about today?
Well, Richard, one of the things I thought we might visit about is, you know, gentlemen always enjoy whisking their favorite lady away for the weekend or on vacation. And I thought you and I might visit about what is some of the latest protocol for Airbnb. It's all the rage right now.
Yeah, that is so true. Airbnb is becoming so popular, and more people are using it for their travel plans. Have you used it yourself?
You know, I have, and I've really enjoyed it. We've had friends who have invited us to join them at their Airbnb. It was two other couples, and it was just fantastic, and we really enjoyed it. I think whether you're relaxing in a peaceful Midwestern countryside or cruising into the heart of cosmopolitan New York City, there are over 640,000 hosts in 57,000 cities. So I know there's probably an Airbnb resident ready to welcome our listeners during their travels.
Yeah, it seems like a really fun way to travel, but with Airbnb, you're going to be staying at someone's home or their residence, so of course that brings us to the proper protocol. Now, I know you have these tips prepared for us, so could you start us off with maybe the first tip to think about when you're traveling using Airbnb?
Yes, Richard, let's talk about that, because as simple as the concept sounds, you know, this traveler's trend comes with its own set of protocols. So out of the quick tips, the first thing we want to let some of our gentlemen know is that they don't want to just go at a glance, because some of these hosts have stipulations. They have specific check-in times, just like a hotel, and you can't just drop in on the doorstep. The other thing they have is they limit the number of guests. So it's important to look and see that that lodging suits your particular travel plans. So look closely at the accommodations, because often a room will be listed for two or more travelers, but it'll just have one bed. So be sure to look at the pictures on the website or ask the host if you're unsure about what amenities may or may not be included. During one particular adventure in Lyon, France, my brother and I had to take turns sleeping on the couch because we made the mistake of not verifying that there was really enough room for two. We thought there would be two double beds. Well, there weren't. There was one bed, and so he and I took turns sleeping one on the couch and one on the bed. So you've got to really double check and look at those pictures and verify exactly, you know, what the lodging provides.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That's a great tip, because I didn't think about that. And at least you guys were able to work it out in that situation and take turns. But, yeah, it's good to prepare ahead of time.
The other thing you want to do is keep an eye on the time, is what I like to say, because your hosts probably have their own weekend plans. So whether they are going to be present or not during your stay, you need to be courteous by arriving as close to the check-in time as possible. So if they list, you know, 4 to 6 p.m. for check-in, you don't want to come arrive at 1 a.m. Now, if the listing doesn't include a specific time, contact your host with your itinerary so that they can be there to welcome you when you arrive. And if you're not familiar with the area, you need to determine the directions to the residence at least 24 hours in advance. You know, figure out the mapping. That way you don't have any undue delay and you have everything planned out in advance.
Oh, great. Great tip. It's nice that you're saying to take others into consideration. We've talked about this on past episodes. We call it the gentleman's code, considering others while developing etiquette. So that's perfect. That perfectly aligns with us trying to live this lifestyle of a gentleman.
You know, I'm glad you said that, Richard. It's so true. And, you know, whenever you're trying to impress your lady, the last thing you want to do is have her say, do we need to ask for directions? Because it's that old, you know, back and forth, there you go. You want to be suave, you want to be in charge, and you want to have this thing nailed down where it's you've got that address in your GPS or in the, you know, never lost on the Hertz rental car. You know right where you're going, and you just show up because you know you've got the directions down. Okay, the next one you asked me about is, you know, keep the place tidy, because Airbnb is just like everything else in life. You leave the place just like it was when you found it. You know, it's like going to Galapagos Islands or Antarctica. You don't leave anything there. No trash, nothing. You want to make sure it's just as beautiful as it was when you arrived. Because let's keep in mind, you know, Richard, we're staying in someone else's home, like you mentioned earlier. So rinse your toothpaste out of that sink, clean up any trash, you know, your Starbucks or your coffee cups.
Yeah.
And let's face it, you know, make up your bed before you leave. Seasoned Airbnb hosts, they're going to clean those rooms and the bed sheets between stays, obviously. But nevertheless, they'll appreciate your efforts to tidy up, and it's probably going to result in better reviews for you as a traveler.
Yeah, that's true. That's something to keep in mind. You want to be conscious of the reviews that you're receiving, too. You don't want people thinking that you're a bad guest, especially if you're trying to live the life of a gentleman. We want to have a good reputation.
That's absolutely true, and it also always is very impressive to the ladies.
Oh, that's a good...
Because you never know.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. We don't want to forget that.
And this, you know, the next tip goes right into your comment earlier, and number 4 is to be considerate. Because in the excitement of new discoveries in a new international city, it's really easy to forget simple courtesies like entering the residence discreetly, turning down our music, refraining from using the kitchen late at night. We need to remember that we're a guest in someone else's home and try to be as gracious and amicable as possible.
Oh, those are great tips. And all of these are really common sense, but they're great reminders, because these are things sometimes, like you said, when you're excited and you're traveling, you can forget these things. So hopefully we're taking note of these. And now it's time for, it looks like, our 5th tip for Airbnb.
Well, I like to call this saying goodbye with grace. Because you want to write a great review of a stellar experience. That's one way to express appreciation for a warm welcome and a wonderful place to stay. But if you're staying for an extended period of time, or if you've become friendly with your hosts, you also want to consider leaving a little something before you drop the key in the mailbox. Maybe a small treat from the local bakery, or a thank you note written on a postcard from your hometown. Those are very memorable ways to show your gratitude. Saying a graceful goodbye is lovely. Now, I get a lot of questions, Richard, about whether people should leave a tip. And you do not tip the owners of the Airbnb.
Oh, really?
However, yeah, you do not tip the owners. However, you may leave a little something if you really want to for the housekeeper. But I encourage you to leave a little note that says it's for housekeeping or for the maid, but only if you want to.
Okay. Well, thank you for that tip. That was an eye-opener for me. I didn't realize that.
That's right, because the owners don't receive a gratuity or a tip, but you may get them a little something. Like, say you're in San Antonio and you're having a wonderful time exploring the city, and you've stayed in an Airbnb and you've just gone all over from, you know, Incarnate Word University down to the Riverwalk, and you stopped in Bird Bakery and you picked up one of their wonderful little cupcakes, and you've left that for the owner. You would do that, that would be lovely, but you would leave maybe a few dollars as a thank you, but you would leave that for housekeeping or for the maid, but you would not leave cash for the owner. See the difference?
Yeah, I do. Thanks for explaining that to us. I think a lot of people are going to benefit from that tip. And really, all of the tips, they were very informative, and I think they're going to help us on our travel. And with the holiday season probably approaching, a lot of people are probably making travel plans, so thanks for these tips.
It's my pleasure, Richard. I know gentlemen want to be the best guest, and these are just modern manners for Airbnb travelers.
Well, thanks once again, Sharon, and if we could, we'd like to invite you back on to go over some more tips in the future. And also, before you go and before we say goodbye, could you let everyone know your website and how to get in contact with you if they'd like more information or to purchase one of your books?
Yes. My website is Sharon Schweitzer, and it's SharonSchweitzer, spelled just like Albert Schweitzer. And you may also find me at that same name on Instagram. And you may purchase a book on Amazon.com or at Barnes & Noble. I would love to hear from any of your listeners, and I'm happy to answer questions.
Sharon, thank you once again for being part of The Life of a Gentleman. Thank you for coming on and giving us this information that we all can apply. So until next time, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Richard. It was a true pleasure.
Well, gentlemen, that wraps up another edition of the Life of a Gentleman podcast. This week, we had a special guest sit in as a guest host. Dennis Stiles stepped in for Charles. Don't fear, everyone. Charles will be back with us shortly. He is just very busy at this time with some secular responsibilities, and we appreciate his contribution to the show and look forward to having him come back on in the next week. Thank you also to Dennis for stepping in and doing a great job and reminding us about some tips on wearing a suit, purchasing a suit, and how we can make the suits that we own look even better than they do now. Also, we'd like to give a special thank you to our guest interview, Mr. Johnny Bryant, assistant coach for the Utah Jazz. It was wonderful to get his perspective on dressing up, because we know those in the NBA coaching circles have to travel so much and wear different suits just about every night of the week. We thank him for coming on, and we appreciated that interview as well. Last but not least, thank you to Sharon Schweitzer for coming back on and talking to us about modern manners and travel, specifically with Airbnb. A lot of us are traveling around the country and different parts of the globe, and so these tips were so relevant and practical that will help us be gentlemen when we travel abroad. Before I go, I'd like to thank everyone that's listening and remind you to please leave us a review and a rating on iTunes. It really would help us so much. Also, I'd like to extend a special gift once again for those that were interested in shopping on harrisonblakeapparel.com. You can use the code WTFIFTY for 50% off your purchase of any item on the website. And as a special added bonus, if you'd be interested in signing up for the monthly subscription, you can use the code FAST5 at checkout. That was FASTFIVE. Use that code for $5 off your first monthly box with Harrison Blake Apparel. Until next time, gentlemen, take care.
These messages are brought to you by Harrison Blake Apparel, specializing in fashion accessories such as ties and lapel pins. Join the Harrison Blake Monthly Subscription Club Each month, they deliver one necktie plus four additional matching accessories for only $25. This is the easy way to build or enhance your wardrobe. To learn more and subscribe, visit HarrisonBlakeApparel.com. These messages are also brought to you by DeAndra Marie, a young, talented female host who conducts interviews, event coverage, and produces the Life of a Gentleman podcast. For inquiries on how to be featured, please visit www.itsdeandramarie.com.